This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's go!
Bingetown, how are we feeling today? It is your boy Dave, and I am joined by the usual Bingetown anime squad, Kyle, who is our rookie good. Attack on Titan watcher, as well as Alki, who, like myself, is a manga reader.
We are a vet all around.
Just a vet all around, for sure. He's our subject matter expert when it comes to anime. But we are back covering Attack on Titan, and today we are covering what should have been just called episode 88, but no. Instead, it is episode special one, Attack on Titan, final season, the final chapters, which is just so ridiculous and summation of exactly why this release format blows. Yeah. But I digress. Let me address the elephant in the room. Yes, we are very late with this recording. It has been a very long time since this episode aired, and I know there are a few listeners out there who have been requesting this episode for a long time. But now, with the upcoming release of what will be, hopefully be the actual finale, we are now catching up with our rookie watcher, Kyle.
I was a baby, and I didn't want to have the wait in between. So we waited until the last final part four content came out so that we could do it. I could watch it back to back. So there's your reasoning.
To be honest, it kind of worked out, because if we had done this back when this episode actually had aired, even though I know how this ends, I would have been completely frustrated knowing the cliffhanger that we got at the end of this. And we've had to just sit on that for months rather than the cliffhanger we had at the end of episode 87, Dawn of Humanity, whatever. So I think it was better for us, especially better for you as a newbie watcher, to do it this way. So
missed the theme song.
Yeah, I will say I did also miss goated theme song. Absolutely. Still comes across my gym playlist every once in a while. But yeah, we can get into the episode itself in a second, but quickly, just some Bingetown housekeeping. Be sure to follow all of our socials at Bingetown TV. We're on X, Instagram, YouTube, you name it. Still just crazy that we have to call
it. Yeah, it's been so long since we covered, I almost said Wheel of Time, Attack on Titan, that Twitter is now named X. It's got a new name.
That is actually crazy to think about, yes. We also have now somewhat recently fired up our Discord, and we already have a huge growing community on there that you will certainly want to be a part of. You can also check out BingetownTV.com to find our full catalog of shows that we have covered here, as well as much more. Now, with that out of the way, we can get back to the actual Attack on Titan chat, and we can just quickly start with overall thoughts on the episode. And of course, we'll start with our rookie watcher, Kyle.
I mean, overall thoughts, the content is fantastic. The animation was amazing. So many good moments. It's just, I don't know. I guess I just have like the ongoing gripe about the format of things. I thought it would be longer, honestly. And not that I necessarily maybe needed it to be longer, but I guess I had this whole like movie idea in my head when it's really just almost like an extended episode.
It's like two episodes.
Yeah. Kind of deal. So that kind of just is what it is. And I'm over like the whole content delivery side of it. The content's just amazing. I just don't know. It's just like past almost the point of like predicting what's going to happen. Like I just need it to wash over me, all of the content.
Yeah, for anyone who hasn't seen the show, like Luke, now is just the perfect time to get into it, because it will finally be all released. You don't have to wait for like six episodes a year, and then like two finale episodes. Just so weird.
I'm going to sound like a hypocrite, because I like didn't watch this like part three until now, like almost waiting for the last bit. But I feel like when you wait until like something's completely finished, it's like, yeah, you get to binge all at once, but like you don't get to interact with the community over like the entire journey. That's something I personally enjoy a lot. Mm-hmm. So I get the positives of that, but it would be much more fun, like, you know, with us, like kind of when we watching like together over time and things like that. So kind of is what it is.
I know, I agree.
I thought the episode was really good. I have to admit, I'm a little desensitized, like you guys are saying too. I just like, it just feels so drawn out. I am excited for the finale. I didn't watch this episode till last night. So like I let this simmer for a fucking year pretty much, or however long it's been.
Yeah.
I mean, that goes
like spoilers for you.
Exactly. So like I know it. So that's why I'm really excited for this final part, because I know what's to come. And that's why like it did hit for me. But I mean, I wasn't like holding back tears. I guess I went through those emotions already, you know, when I read it. Mm-hmm. With that being said, when this dropped, whenever it dropped, I wasn't super excited to watch it. And that's, I think, the problem with this format is that you watch something and you know it's just means you have to wait for the next thing. And it's like, at this point, instead of it being an episode by episode thing, it's come down to this. And I don't know, it's taken away the excitement, unfortunately.
Yeah. And not to like completely harp on the point, but I guess just to wrap it up, like I feel like Stranger Things did it in an interesting way of like they had the back to back super long episodes after a short break. I feel like it would have been kind of cool. And again, obviously there's logistical constraints of like people need to actually do the animation work. But like, I feel like we could have waited, like if this one came out in like March, I feel like we could have waited those extra months and just had them come out like as one full movie, maybe, or even back to back. I don't know. It is what it is, though. The content is just fucking fantastic, I think, is what pretty much trumps every other gripe you could possibly have.
Absolutely. This episode had so many big, big moments. Fucking Flock, goodbye. Thank you. Good night.
I was watching RTTV before the recording, just as like a slight refresher on things. It's just funny that they call him Flop.
He's definitely a flop.
Perfect. Yeah,
he's such a simp. Fuck him. He's a loser.
No longer have to deal with that guy anymore.
They should have squashed him. I don't know why they squashed the poor little kid with one arm who already had a shitty life.
Yeah.
They didn't squash this fucker.
I was re-listening to our like last season content, so episodes like what, 76 through 88, whatever it ends up being. Mm-hmm. And the first episode of the season, I was like, I'm just declaring I'm a Jaegerist, like let's get it. And then I listened to the finale and I was like, it's getting kind of hard to be a Jaegerist.
No, he's so psycho, dude.
That's how
he's...
I feel why I did this episode even harder, obviously.
He's a psycho. He's tough mass scenes. Murderer, serial killer.
All the above.
All right, let's get into it. So we open up with, well, I guess we open up with a scene that, for the manga readers out there, yes, me and Alki looked at each other this opening scene, and we obviously knew what that meant, but won't harp on it any longer. But we'll move on to the next opening scene, which is so the cool child thief Ramsey and his friend, who are essentially just hiding money in the woods. When they see some villagers frantically running away, they begin to feel the earth trembling, and we see the rumbling closing in. I was really hoping right here would be rumbling. But was not then. If not then none at all. So after we get that, we are brought back in time to Eren's time on Marley. We've been periodically getting these flashbacks of Eren's time in Marley, and I think this is just the final flashback of these events. So we see him just walking through the streets, just casually thinking about how he's going to murder everyone on this island. And he briefly thinks about the consequences of both options, if he goes through with it, if he doesn't go through with it, but ultimately doubles down on the idea that the rumbling is going to happen.
It's also, he doesn't have a choice, it feels like.
No, I mean, he admits it here. He says, I mean, I see it happens in the future.
Yeah.
And it's not one of those things where it's like, I can change the future. He just plays into it, where it's, I know this is going to happen.
That'll be interesting to talk.
He manipulated himself into doing it, no?
Yeah, I mean, he 100%.
I think at the end with like the final quote of the episode, but that's just like what I was thinking watching this. And again, after listening to our last of, I guess, finale coverage of like us having a whole kind of discussion about like whether all of this stuff really matters, you know, where he like, they go to like the political speech of the guy, and Aaron walks out because nothing moves him and everything's kind of preordained. So like, how much does it matter type of stuff? Yeah. But it's just like, I love the idea of it, like the concept of it all, and like how like the internal, like we get the internal monologue of him like dealing with it. I love all of that stuff. So it's honestly, do we need much more? I just, getting inside Aaron's head is so interesting.
That's why I love just thinking back on the Crunchyroll Awards when he was nominated for both Protagonist of the Year and Antagonist of the Year. Like, that's just funny. That is something you would never see anywhere else. And agree, the thoughts that are running through Aaron's mind, they're funny in a sense, because again, you're right, it's just, it's gonna happen, but in the same time, like, he's also trying to fight it not happening, but his hatred just comes out on top. And like Alki said, I mean, his older self manipulates his younger self the entire time. Like, this was all 100% planned out. The events were led up to this. And
also, it also feels like the him now and Marley has done manipulating, but he's also being manipulated.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
type of deal, which is like an interesting,
goes right into the Armin quote right at the end of the
type of thing, where it's like, where's like the turning point almost, where he's like fully into it. It's just, I don't know, it's very interesting. I could talk about something else, but I won't, of like another like I want to say content, but that's like off pie. It won't, the conversation will be too big for this, so. Gotcha. I just love the idea of it, basically. But it just gets me going.
This next scene is just an overemphasis of all of what we're just talking about, where he sees the kid, Ramsey, getting the shit kicked out of him. And Aaron, of course, thinking that because the world is he's going to destroy this island anyway, there's no point in saving the kid. And he ends up saving him, which, again, just is this moral dilemma of what's his deal? Like, he knows he's going to kill these people. But and I think specifically here, it probably just reminds him of his younger self, like all the fights that he got into. And maybe this was like him just trying to save his younger self when he was like innocent. But it's just funny how it just all works. And he knows he's going to save the kid, and he's still like not trying to save the kid. And then he does. Uh-huh. It's just so funny.
And it doesn't matter at all, but he still goes through with it. And like, the outcome is the same no matter what. I just, the internal back and forth is just such an interesting thing to think about. It's like almost like I want to like do mushrooms and think about it for like hours.
Oh, 100%. And
type of deal.
And then he's apologizing to the kid. It's like, I'm sorry, I just saved your butt right there. Kid's just standing there. I have no idea what
content is like way too frightening to watch on mushrooms, but like the morality aspect of it is very interesting to think about.
Sit down and talk about it.
Yeah. For sure.
But back in the present, the boys and the villagers are continuing to run away. But of course, they are unable to outrun the long legs of these colossal titans, and they are inevitably trampled. I just vividly remember this manga panel from the manga, of the footprint, the kid's blood splatter just all over the footprint. This is when I remember even texting Alki and just being like, this is the craziest shit I've ever read. Like, it's just so fucked up. Yeah.
Well, he gets his just desserts.
I'm just kidding. I thought the best quote from the episode was probably in the last scene. It could have been later on, but when he was like,
Aaron.
I saw the, Aaron was like, I learned that there were other people, and it pissed me off. Or whatever. Like, that shit was, I was like, whoa, like, you got to be fucking damaged and real sad.
Yeah.
You know, to take something your life is like, you grow up thinking that you're stuck in this island and these walls and these titans are going to kill you. And then you find out, actually, no, there's hope out there. There's civilization. There are people. But instead, you're like,
the people are doing this to
like,
us.
Like, fuck you.
Yeah. The people.
You know what I mean? Like, my life was a lie. It's so crazy, deep. Yeah.
It's interesting too, to think that, like, he's in it. Like the rumbling would be one thing if he set it off and it was just like a bunch of titans that went and he'd be like, ha ha. But he's like literally in the procession.
Yeah, he's like doing it.
Like reveling in it, I guess, in a sense, which is even another on top of just like the whole sadistic like just nihilistic, every negative fucking word sadistic, you can think of.
It's so weird. You said it earlier. It's sadistic and he's a masochist. Like he is getting fucked and fucking. Like,
yeah.
Like it's insane. He's just like this like emo edge boy that just, you know,
100% reveling in it. And I think it's just his way of coping with the idea of him just genociding all these people.
He's
because
like embracing,
he's like, I am now setting
the morbidity,
free.
It's the morbidness,
morbidness,
morbidity,
morbidity. Thanks, dude.
I think, I don't know. It sounds right. And it also sounds fun to say, but yeah. And then at the same time, I feel like even maybe dipping a toe into like a prediction type of deal, like, does he actually, like, I don't know. I'm just so curious to find out, like, how far, like, if he, is he truly gone? Can, like, the level of manipulation, if it's ongoing, does it stop? I'm so curious to learn more about his mindset as he's just trudging on this path of destruction. The scenes were unbelievable. I mean, it's so well, like, the art is crazy. And it's almost like wrong how bad and realistic it looks, but like they're just fucking shit up. I mean, you see the wall of them and you think like, okay, like you could probably dodge a couple of them. And then like they show like the aftermath and it's like literally a footprint on every fucking square inch. Mm-hmm. Like all of the walls are gone. All of the buildings are gone. They're fucking catching on fire. Even if they don't crush you, like it's just crazy.
That's the gruesome, extra gruesomeness that this show provides that really sends it over the edge, because you're right. It's just not just the Titans trampling over everything. It's just the heat they are exerting also is just wiping everything
crazy
around them.
Full blown destruction.
We see women, children, babies, mm-hmm. like everyone.
Yeah,
no
they're
one
trying
is
to
safe.
Grab that guy out of the car. They're all trying to escape. Those dudes, yeah, dumbasses, are trying to loot that building. Like, absolute idiots. Like, and they literally showed us the teeth like cracking and popping out of Ramsey's head, and I was like, Jesus Christ, dude.
So bad. It's yeah, so also,
him seeing Ymir was very interesting. I don't know. I mean, I guess he's an Eldian.
He must be an Eldian. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, they all have that connection. Obviously, he sent. He has him being Aaron has sent other Eldians to the paths and viewed the coordinates. So that's how I'm kind of taking it. I do wonder if that will be something that pops up going forward. And that's just like, I feel like the first time we've seen it, we watched obviously scores of Eldians die in this show over time. So and to my knowledge, that was the first time that's happened. So
I like your comments too about how you're just unsure of how the ending is going to go, because I feel like the show has done a really good job of, you know, obviously, here we get in a second, like Armin still believes that Aaron is salvageable and, mm-hmm. you know, can be saved. But also we get the speech, which I guess we can just get there when we get there. But I like where your head's at. It's so hard to determine how this is actually going to play out in the end.
Yeah, it's just a really interesting blend of like things feel predetermined, but the show still has this underlying layer of like hope involved, of like the scout regiment, but also it does feel like it's useless hope at the same time. So it just feels like it's hitting all of those notes in like a perfect harmony.
I feel like I felt compelling. Like I remember reading and thinking like, Armin, give it a rest.
Yeah,
this is irredeemable. I think that
it's like Naruto and Sasuke, man. Like, why did Naruto? Yeah, there was three years that Naruto.
That was 700 chapters of that.
I mean, you rewatched some of the podcast, Kyle. I think that was my take back then. Like, just like, come on, Armin. You know, at some point, you're like, I respect it though. He's definitely the best of them all. Man, you know, he sees things objectively. But he also cares about his friend. I think he's truly coming from a place like, not only is he upset to see all these innocent people die, like he is genuinely worried about Aaron, mm-hmm. I think the most out of all of them, besides maybe Mikasa. Mm-hmm. So I personally felt like while reading, like, I don't know how he can possibly turn back from this. I'm not saying he doesn't. I'm just saying,
yeah,
it's so hard to see
that seems, yeah, like a hopeless endeavor.
How he redeems himself at this stage.
Completely agree. And so, speaking of Armin, him and Annie share this awkward moment over basically their mutual crush of one another, but they also start talking about the meaning of what it means to be a good person.
This was interesting because I feel like, is it they know about the memory stuff, don't they? Or is that because that was like, or is that like somewhat unknown information about the Titan stuff?
What memory stuff? The
like, does she not know that he obviously has like Bertolt's memories, and like that's why he feels that way about her?
I guess I think she does bring that up, like the idea that like Bertolt and you know, I can't.
Yeah,
she
I can't, just don't remember.
I think the overarching thing is that like Armin doubles down on the idea that these are his memories, his feelings.
Yeah, that's true. Because she does keep saying why, like why me. Why?
Yeah, because she does say Bertolt felt the same way. Why aren't you? Yeah. It's just not those
it
memories.
Felt like
but
she was trying to drag the actual statement out of Armin while she knew like the actual.
But he was professing himself to her before he had the colossal titan power.
Yeah, that's what he's also saying here, is that I've always felt this way. Like when you were in the crystal, I didn't have Bertolt's memories then or whatever, you know.
Right.
So it's just something it was, I guess, cute.
Feels cute-ish. Like a tease.
Yeah, it is definitely a tease for right now. Yeah.
Unless Annie fucking, you know, somehow makes it to
where they are. Yeah.
Yeah, it feels like, you know, they're just going to die separate horrific deaths, probably, knowing this show. So,
of course. Yep. And yeah. But they, again, discussing the whole good person thing. Annie sees Armin as a good person, but the whole, you know, morality and ethics of the show is Armin a good person. You know, we know deep down he is, I guess, if you want to define it.
Do
a good
we
person.
Though? I feel but like he's relatively.
Also, yeah, but then again, he's murdered thousands of people, and he obviously doesn't let that go. And that's the whole thing about these scenes here, is that none of them can let it go, and they never will let it go. But they still want to do it for the good of the humanity.
Armin did it for like war. I mean, even Reiner, you could argue like it's war. Eren is fucking wiping out.
It's true.
But the people that aren't even involved, like Reiner,
I don't know.
In a sense, you could argue him and Annie, whatever, their fucking motives were validated, like at the time. I mean, they were brainwashed, blah, 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 but it was war,
a lot of innocence.
You know?
Yeah.
Soldiers kill soldiers. You know what I mean? I mean, look,
it's hard.
Obviously, they did some questionable things. Their morality is in question. And
I think the morality is gone.
If I was them, we're talking about Armin, right? If I was them, I would feel very conflicted too. But I also don't think you can put them in the same category as Eren. I mean, absolutely not.
I would say no.
Without a doubt.
I would agree with that. But Eren is like the worst thing you've ever even like read in a book. Like, I don't think I've ever read.
Except for Phlox. Phlox's above Eren still.
I mean, we were watching and I'm like, We I think if anybody's a JJK watcher, I mentioned in the last video how we did like a tier list, and I was like, is he an S tier or whatever? I think he's fucking, dude, he can fuck shit up. First of all, I hate his design. My God, I kept saying, ew.
the huge, like,
the founding titan.
Yeah, skeleton, whatever. I guess he has really tiny hips. He has really tiny hips and just a big rib cage.
He looks like a fucking, what's the stegosaurus with like the spiny... whatever, and then he's got like human feet. I think it's funny.
Yeah, the fact that the human feet are just what's pushing the whole thing, the whole mass, is just so ridiculous. But
I did like this for Armin though.
Yeah, oh, for sure. I mean, with Annie, this is kind of setting up into what will, like, you know, the next couple of scenes of when he becomes, you know, hint hint, wink wink, commander. But we'll get there in a second. I'm not going to list all the names that are here at this port, but we'll just call this the Frenemy Squad, since they used to be enemies and now they're friends. So the Frenemy Squad.
They're just a new scout regiment.
Yeah.
Friends, then enemies, then friends again.
Yep. Peek's wearing the fucking jacket, so she's part of the squad. She's got the scout regiment jacket on.
Yeah,
whenever
that's
I hear
actually
Peek's
funny.
Name, I laugh because I just think of like the whole Attack on Titan community and how thirsty they are for Peek. And I just, so it's weird. So ridiculous that they, move on from that. But they're working on repairing one of the planes on the harbor so that they can get back
Onya
to fight against Eren.
The goat.
Yep, Onya nice Capone. I did write his name down because I know Kyle loves to say his name.
Great guy.
Annie decides here that she's going to flee from the fight, which can't really blame her, to be honest. Yeah. She has been, her, Reiner, all of them have been through so much, so I don't blame her for just wanting to dip out and just accept her fate somewhere. If she dies, it seems like if she's gonna die, she's gonna die, she'll take it. Yeah. But
it's interesting that Connie's reaction to it is Annie's fault enough, and like looking around, it's like, dude, everyone almost arguably has fought more than her at this point. Like, she's kind of fought almost the least out of everyone because she was in that stasis shell for years. But that kind of
also
past the point
true.
It just gave me a chuckle thinking about it.
And it's basically going to be her Kiyomi, I think her name is, Falco and Gabby going to, I believe they're aiming for Paradise Island. I mean, that's the only quote unquote safe spot in the world right now. So I think that's where they're going, or they're just going back to meet up with everyone in Marley. I don't really know. I don't think it really matters all that much. They're just fleeing the scene, essentially.
My geography is bad, but I thought they were, I think, aren't they going back to the Azuma Bitos?
Oh yeah, that's probably where they're going, because that's probably the farthest destination from where everything, I think it seems like, is happening. So it's going to be a safe spot for the moment, and they're just going to bide out the time and hope that this squad can take down everything, which makes sense. Yeah. So,
but the Rumbling can't turn very quickly, I bet. So like once you skirt them once, you just fucking just go behind them and just rebuild behind them. you just got to dodge them one time, I guess.
Yeah.
Well, they can't swim though, so.
We also see, I also want to shout out my boy Levi, because we get some quick flashes of him persevering through his injuries. Just an absolute beast. Love that he only needs two fingers to use any of the ODM gear. They're getting hooked up with new ODM gear, if that wasn't clear either. This is going to help them maneuver a lot easier through the Founding Titan and whatnot. Yelena also reveals where Aaron is most likely headed. So our savior squad, frenemy squad, now has their destination, and then also doubles down on her, her and Zeke's idea.
The euthanization plan.
Yeah. And she says, I hope you guys can see now that this was the right plan, or the euthanasia plan was the right plan.
I was shocked to see here, like, Hanji be like, Hanji agreed. You're right.
I mean, I feel like, objectively speaking, looking around.
I don't think
exactly. That's the thing. It's looking around.
Objectively, against this, okay, maybe.
Fair. I guess objectively, in terms of the number of dead bodies, is potentially objective, but I guess you can interpret that number subjectively.
And then this is where the biggest bitch of them all, Flock, comes back, literally guns a-blazing, and just ruins everything for our team. Squad needs to make some quick repairs because Flock shot out the engine tank. They need to weld it back, and it's going to take an hour, but we see the earth is shaking. Rumbling. The rumbling is on its way.
Interesting Flock's quote. I don't remember like all of the words, but it was like our devils. And I couldn't tell. And maybe this is the point of, like, does he mean like our squad, like our devils as like Eldians? Or does he mean our devils as in like Marleyans?
I think he means Marleyans. And I think it's kind of similar to the same boat.
Doesn't he say our devils are our last hope or something like that?
Something along those lines. But I think he's talking about the devils as in like Marley, because
he means naturalized Marleyans, like
everyone basically here is just saying, I was right. So Yelena here admits that our plan was right. And then Flock here is saying that
makes sense.
We as Jaegerists were 100% right. Like, this is the only way. So we just get both sides of them seeing things is right, basically. Again, showing that there's just gonna be a clash, and this kind of goes into exactly what Aaron was saying when he brings them to the paths, and you know, our convictions are so strong for the opposite sides that we have to clash. And that's just kind of what this, I think, is the purpose of Flock saying this here, is that he just still sees Marley and everyone outside of their world as devils.
Fuck them, man.
Yeah, fuck them. But we need a volunteer for someone to stay back and bide some time for the rumbling and for our frenemies to escape. And who else but Hanji decides to volunteer? The commander, former commander of the scout regiment. She wants her badass moment. She volunteers to stay back and designates Armin as the next commander of the scout regiment, which was very hype for sure. Shinzo Sasagoro all day, every day.
His expression's good too.
I love her last shot too, of when her last quote to Armin being, you know, Levi still he still can move, so you know, put him to good work, you know.
Yeah.
But then her and Levi share a moment, and for the first time, Levi decides to dedicate his heart, which very beautiful. And then we can just get right into the cutting onions moment of the episode, Hanji's sacrifice. Aoki knows very well that I was really fighting back the tears here personally. I mean, I know that the whole thing with the whole, you know, it's been months for so long, but it was still painful for me to see. Watching her burn up was that's, I think, where the tears started really welling up, was when she started to burn and fall to the ground. But what really sent me over the edge is when she wakes up and it's Erwin just greeting her. I was like,
so happy.
I fought back
the
tears, but they were ready to. I could have opened that dam up and it just could have been the floodgates, man. I was in bad shape when I saw Erwin.
I guess it didn't get like tear level emotion out of, or tear type emotion out of me, because I feel like she just did it so cool. You know, like it was so cool the way she was like, yep, this is me. Like, saw the opportunity, seized it, was like, I fucking have been hating this job. This sucks. Like, I hate having all this pressure. Like, this is going to be fun. Like, I want to go out like a badass. Like, this is literally the perfect opportunity for me. So I'm going to fucking take it. And love you guys. Good luck. And let's go fucking go out in a blaze of glory.
She killed it, though.
Yeah.
She fucking awesome. Killed it, bro. She was fucking that shit up.
Yeah, she awesome. She skyrocketed up my favorite character rankings after
that. They animated she's that well.
It she's hit, staring hit down like sure death, and it's like, oh my god, Titans are so cool.
I know, that was so funny.
And Levi makes the comment like, you're gonna go out the way you've always wanted to go out, just which it's so fitting for her. But
what about when she like said thank you to Peak or whatever? She's like, I hope one day I can ride it and feel the heat of your back.
Yeah, just like that got so like, weird.
Yo, get
so
the fuck
fast.
Out of here! Yeah,
Hanji's fucking awesome.
Hanji is the greatest. Rest in peace, Hanji. She is now definitely in a better place. No longer a part of the rumbling. She's with her seniors and elders and everything. I love that she's greeted by Erwin, because she always respected the hell out of Erwin. Was always bringing him up, and
my
now
goat.
She got her moment. Yep,
greatest Kyle's character in the show.
And it was just. It was great. And she looks up and she sees the plane, even though she shouldn't physically be able to see it, but she does see the plane take off safely. And that, like, that's her sigh of relief. And she did her moment.
They're all just crying their eyes out on the plane.
Yeah, it's brutal.
I forgot that she combusted. That was.
I remember the cape falling in the manga too. Like, we see that shot in the manga. That's something that just sticks very well in my brain as well. But the plane takes off successfully, but only has half a tank to get them to Fort Salta. That's where the squad's headed. That's where Aaron's headed. On the flight, they discuss Aaron's actual physical location within the Founding Titan. Now that he has the Hammer Titan's abilities, it's not a guarantee that he's going to be in the nape of the neck. He could be anywhere in the whole entire Founding Titan, which
glitch
is, we obviously know, is gigantic. The biggest thing we've probably seen in the show by far, in a way. So
I'd put myself right in the hips.
Yeah, and the backup plan will be to just unleash Armin's Colossal Titan as just, the nuke to just blow everything up. And that'll be a last resort, because obviously Armin and Mikasa do not want to kill Aaron.
That
right
is
away.
Such an unfortunate ability for him. You got to do it for
they
us.
They legitimately
like,
have to
fuck.
Plan it out. Like, they have to make sure that, especially when he does it, that they're not within however many meters,
like when he's in, like, I guess season 4 part 2, when he, like, at the beginning of the Marley invasion,
when
he's just like on the boat and he's like,
I'm sorry.
He just blows up. It's like,
the entire harbor, it just evaporates. There's nothing left because the explosion's that big.
That's so unfortunate that Armin just has to be, and not even a suicide bomber, he's just a bomber
that's just gonna continuously bomb people over and over, and he hates doing it. But they also deduce that potentially killing Zeke will cut off Aaron's ability to use the royal blood.
Very interesting. Thankfully, I rewatched like a recap of last season, because obviously the moment where Aaron gets his head shot off was like, oh my god, crazy, and then Zeke catches it type of stuff, and I just that aspect of it had slipped my mind a little bit, that like Aaron technically doesn't have royal blood type of thing, so he needs Zeke to like have the control over Founder Ymir. So that was something that I had kind of forgotten about. So I'm glad that is like
We had to rehash that too. So Zeke is somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my mindset, I guess, is that I don't
kind of.
My idea is that I don't think he's obviously willingly doing all this. I think Aaron.
Yeah, he's probably horrified.
Well, I think Aaron is also just, straight up like mind controlling him somehow. Maybe he's just captured Zeke in this endless time loop of just, infinity, all these timelines that have been going on and outcomes. And I think he's just kind of stuck there, and Aaron is just kind of like Gojo's Infinity. Like he's just experiencing everything so much at once that he's just like frozen in place. And Eren is just able to just constantly just touch him and just have access to the royal blood the whole time. So, but their idea is that they're going to kill him. And who else but Levi takes on the task of wanting to kill Zeke?
It's got to be.
It's got to be. I mean, we've had 2-3 battles now, and Zeke's come away alive in all three of them. So this has got to be Levi's hopefully the last
lost
time.
An eye, several fingers.
Yeah.
So his scars look great. It's kind of, it feels like it's a shame that we won't get to see him maybe like older, like with like the scars being not like fresh boys.
Yeah.
With like bandages and stuff, because I would like to see like old gnarled Levi with like, you know, a couple fingers, all the scars and
5'3" stature.
Yeah. That would be an interesting
sight. I think he looks cool like that too.
Yeah.
So do you think that when he goes after the colossal the Beast Titan, do you think Zeke's like in this like manifestation of the Beast Titan?
I hope so, just because I feel like
that would be easiest for our squad.
Yeah, and also it feels like obviously Levi is like fighting the idea of the Beast Titan, but I also feel like he has like personal beef with Zeke himself more than he has personal beef with like just the Beast Titan type of
thing. I mean, it goes beyond just the situation itself.
I think it's personal with him and Zeke.
Yeah.
So if it's just Zeke's powers like manifested in a certain way, I feel like that would be like 85%.
It's hard to guess, because I mean, will Eren be able to use the Hammer Titan's abilities for Zeke to keep Zeke safe while he's doing all this? Yeah. You know, is he going to be able to shift Zeke around as well as himself?
And if Zeke's being forced to do these things, is he then being forced to take the form of the Beast Titan? Or like, is it just Eren?
And then is it a matter of, are we going to save Zeke too? Is he going to somehow
live more the Warhammer Titan abilities? Because I don't think we got enough of that in the story. Like, I hope in this final fight,
they're like endless, it feels like.
Yeah, they are crazy. I mean, we get it kind of, I feel like, at the end here. But we'll make our way there to it. The squad on the plane is all reminiscing on the fact that they've killed many of their allies to be able to get to this moment.
Reminiscing, yeah.
Yeah.
It's just a funny way to think about it.
But it's all been for the greater good. And then Reiner makes this small little comment about how he feels like Eren is wanting them to stop him because Eren has not prevented them from using their powers. But that gets immediately squashed here by Eren bringing all of them to the paths. They're immediately pleading with Eren to stop the rumbling, apologizing to him, letting him know that they understand how he feels, but they still want him to stop. But he legitimately just brought him here just to tell them, we're not having a discussion about this. I am going to go through. Yeah. This was really important for the story. 100%.
Like we're having this overhanging question of like, we're going to talk to him. Like, plan A is we're going to talk to him. And I like how they had this moment where he was like, nope. Like, you guys think what you think. I think what I think. Let's fucking fight type of thing.
That's like the childish.
Maybe they still do talk. But I feel like, I like it more this way. We've kind of had a midpoint where he like outwardly rejects it.
100%.
And then it's not like hanging over us until like the last like 10 minutes type of deal.
It just adds more to the gray area of like, how is this actually going to end? You know, it's just exactly what we were talking about earlier. Are they going to be able to save him? What is going to be the outcome? And it's just
hard to watch.
I just love
it too. Like, they're just running through the paths and Gene's like, you don't trust us. Like, we can fix everything together. Like, Connie's yelling, Mikasa's yelling, Armin apologizes for whatever fucking reason he thinks he did something wrong.
And that's what I mean. It's like,
I mean, it's just funny to think about.
And Mikasa's like, oh, I wish I could bear this burden with you. It's like, oh my God.
Which, I mean, it's the burden is unbelievable. And that's
millions
part of honestly
lives.
what Reiner too is talking about, I think both before and a little bit after, of like, I have done, you know, a score of terrible things, and like, I can barely move
sleep
forward. Like, like, I don't know how. Like, if I was Eren, I would be like begging for someone to like stop me and put an end to this type of thing.
I thought that was very great deductive reasoning, to be honest. Yeah. And mature. it's mature thinking from Reiner.
I feel like it just again shows us the duality of both of them, how they've always been two sides of the same coin. Like they do share these same emotions, but how he now views the situation is completely opposite to how Aaron does.
I saw a funny comment in the RTTV YouTube where it was like, Reiner legitimately takes nothing but L's, but still gets me so hype. Literally, he just gets life, just beats the shit out of him for fucking four seasons, and he still is like, "All right, Reiner."
Yeah, he even had like a failed suicide attempt in the invasion of Marley. Like he wanted to kill himself, but no one would let him do it.
Oh my god, what a guy! He's been on.
I will say, Reiner, this watching now, you know, going on with the watching, I think he's definitely one of my favorites too. I love Reiner.
They showed us a lot of like little flashbacks too of him like as a little young bull like at the end too, and it's just funny to think like how old he looks now.
Oh my god, it's just the president, he feels the like whole president effect.
Yeah, like way more almost than everyone else, it feels like.
Just the stress has just been chewing. Yeah,
he just like looks like a fucking man now that wants to obviously fucking kill himself. Which
I just thought it was,
apologize for the language, but it's just like where he's at.
It's also funny too how Aaron like words it here when he's like, "I brought us here to have a discussion about how we're not gonna have a discussion about stopping this." And the line hit hard. But moving on.
The last
on,
thing too for me here is I love Connie and Gene looking at Reiner and being like, I mean, the fact that it took them this long is however you want to take that, but they're like, oh my god, like the weight of all the shit we've done in the past, you know, 13 hours is like insane. Like obviously Reiner, have been feeling this way
years
for so long. It's like we were obviously so wrong to judge you. That just feels like a very cathartic moment for team.
There's so many characters that I just love here, like John, Connie. They're all really great. But out at sea, Annie and Kiyomi also are discussing their regrets in this whole situation. Not really much else to say there besides the fact that Gabby and Falco come in saying that Falco had a dream/memory that was presented to him from Zeke, it sounds like, which he thinks is possible because he drank Zeke's spinal fluid. Mm-hmm. His Titan is able to manifest bestial traits. And in these memories that Falco is having, he sees himself flying. So, thoughts from the rookie?
Oh, he's totally going to fly those fuckers into the final. Like, they're not just fucking off to wherever they're going on the ship. Like,
Is that just now clicking, or did you think that?
Oh, it's just like, there's no way that that's the end of it. The last we see of Falco is him crying because Marley got destroyed and he has this fucking vision. Like, they don't get to have a happy ending either. There's no way. Like, they're going to get involved. And it's, again, with the Armin thing, like, there's no way that that's Armin and Annie's like last interaction. It just feels like it wasn't fucked up enough.
Yeah.
I know that there's more terrible things in store.
There's got to be jaw tightened, right?
There's got to be some, bro, like closure, though, bro. Not everybody's going to, you think everybody's going to burn up in hell?
Certainly feels that way.
He is the jaw.
I mean, closure
tightened,
in the sense, like everyone's going to, like, there's not going to be like a happy ending for sure. But that felt like too, like they kind of blush and wave to each other. It felt like, there's way more to that.
Yeah.
Yes. I think what he has is called the Jaw Titan.
We'll put a pin.
He's Porco, right? Porco?
Porco, whatever his Galliard name is. Yeah. Porco. Yeah. Galliard.
One of those two, or maybe both of them together. I don't know.
But yeah. So now he is. Yeah. We'll put a pin into that theory. We'll come back to that in a couple of days when the finale comes out. Then
I'm excited to see what that version of his Titan looks like.
Yes, that will be something to look forward to for sure. And now we're approaching the final few scenes here. So we got a few scenes of the Eldians and it's Marlians, right? Heading for Fort Salta to acquire airships to flee on. We see the parents of some of the Marlian warriors. I think we see it is Reiner's mom. I think Peek's dad's there. Maybe Gabby and Falco's parents, whoever else is there. But they're all, you know, sharing in the regret as well. This is just, we love regret in this episode. There's just plenty of it. And they're just regretting in how
a lot of hindsight going on here.
Captain Hindsight from South Park. But to their dismay, they arrive and there are no airships left. They've all taken off, but rather than retreating, they are heading towards the rumbling. The Fort Commander is rallying all the people around him, saying that this is the last stand for humanity. He gives an excellent speech about hatred being the fuel and motivation behind the monster Eren Jaeger, and that they should all be held accountable for being responsible.
Which I thought was really cool.
Yeah, legend. Not like, great. Yeah, like, oh, I was a terrible mother. Like, boo-hoo, woe is me type of deal. He was like, we fucking suck. Like, I hope this works out. But yeah, if it doesn't, like, honestly, we have no one else to blame but ourselves type of deal. I thought that was awesome. That was,
we were watching, and I'm like, why are they going into the... into the fray, and then he's like, "They're going into the fray."
Yeah.
Oh, and
really like, right into
job
it.
Fucking yeah. bomb.
I liked the speech though. That was pretty good. Maybe it's like a little like batting us over the head, not a ton of subtlety involved. But I thought the words were perfect for the moment. I thought it was very interesting.
If there's one thing that this show does better than a lot of shows is the speeches that people give. Just
great monologues.
They have great monologues in here. There's like this random Fort Salta character is like getting me hyped to just, well, I'll make a stand for humanity. Sure.
I also love how fucking crazy a lot of the old guys' eyes look like, like the commander that was like, they're like,
Magath.
Yeah, that guy, like the way his eyes are always just so big. Like this guy too looks fucking horrifying.
They've seen like literally the worst shit of all time.
They just have shell shock 24/7.
But the airships begin their bombing, but because the ships are so high up, many of them miss their mark. I love the look, Eren, that Eren gives to the ships right before they're about to bomb. Yeah. This is so, felt like a Conqueror's Hockey kind of moment. But in a flash of light, we see the shape of Zeke's beast Titan take form. And this is when me and Alki kind of looked at each other and like, Eren is definitely fucking strong as hell because.
Oh my God.
He just.
Insane.
They take the form and he just starts hurling debris at the airships, and legitimately I'm pretty sure every single airship is taken out within minutes. Just his power
stupid
is insane.
Literally dumb me, like when you first see the flash of light I was like, he can like fucking shoot energy beams out of his spine. Like, what is going on? Then I was like, oh, I'm a fucking idiot. Like,
I think we needed the music, like the iconic Attack on Titan music to go like, with what? It to make you remember.
I thought he was looking up and was just going to like shoot a little fucking energy beam out of his spinal cord or something. And I was like, damn, this is insane. And then I was like, okay, this makes way more sense.
I'll take some fall heat here with you too. Cause I was also the same way. Like the lightning came and I was like, what is happening right now? Yeah. Like, is he transforming into something?
We
I
hadn't
had no
seen
idea.
Anyone. Yeah. Like with the transformation this episode so far that I recall. So,
yeah. But like I said, all the ships are taken out, and then somehow, some way, this little girl is able to pinpoint the location of our fucking,
got those fucking
squad airship.
Paranay Barra eyes.
Yeah. She's got the observation hockey because that was like some of the thickest smoke I've ever seen in my life. And she's out here pointing out to this. But our Avengers dive from the plane that is no longer. That is running out of fuel, and they use their new ODM gear to grapple onto Eren's Titan form.
I was shocked. I thought it would be like they couldn't pierce it. Obviously, they weren't all going to like splat on his back, and that was the end. But like, I was like, that's something I was thinking. But the new ODM gear obviously slabs.
And I was fucking hype here when Reiner's plummeting down. Oh. I get so hype when
dude, he's a beast. I mean, he's fucking the Armored Titan, but he's a beast. It's just fucking.
I get hype when they're about to take a bite out of their hand. I just get so hype. The music's kicking in. Reiner is looking. The animation is just kicking right here. It's so clear, crystal clear. Takes a bite out of his fist, transforms into the Armored Titan, just tackles Zeke's beast Titan.
So much passion. He's just so looking forward to either atonement or like the sweet release of death that he's just like, yeah, baby, let's get into it. Dude. It's either one or the other is going to happen, basically.
It's definitely,
I guess, not actually true because it's either going to get atonement, the sweet release of death, or he's going to take a fat L and just get a stack on top of all of this fucking resentment of his
life. It's got to be atonement. Just him, I'm willing to just throw my body out here and just fuck shit up as long if I can die. In
yeah,
the
that's
blaze
always
of glory. Just a plus
for him at this point.
Yeah, and then Peak also transforms into the Car Titan, and Armin has
like
one
cheering like fans. She's like, oh, the Armor Titan, oh, the Beast Titan. They're like fucking watching on the plateau. They literally get all the way up to the edge of the plateau. It's just
how they're able
funny.
To see anything is just wild.
Well, they are like celebrities, especially for like the dirty. Because what are they called when they become
warriors? Right,
warriors, but they're like hardened. Eldians or something like
what it's
something
Marlians.
Honorary Marlians.
Ollie honorary. That's what it is. So these people are like their heroes, like our Reiner and Andy and them is like their little like
they made it out.
Yeah, they made out the mud. You know what I mean? That's why that shot of her smiling so hard when Reiner became the warrior, like she said, I used you for selfish means. Like I was using you as a means for revenge.
Their families too.
Yeah, because their families get the benefits too. Exactly.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
It's all coming to fruition now in a sense, you know.
What a sick world fueled by hate, as the guy said. How embarrassing.
Armin has one final question for Aaron. In what way are you free? And that is the big question. And he is not really free, it feels like, right?
That feels like the idea of, like, where is he at in the process of whispering almost in his own ear and, like, feels like he has no actual control over the future type of thing. That quote is just interesting to think about. And we hinted at a little bit of a conversation earlier of the beginning of the episode, where it's just question, at least for me, I'm assuming it's what you should be thinking as you watch type of deal of like, where is he along the line of like inevitability of things? Like he is in the beginning of the episode, he's crying because he's like, I saved this boy and I did that out of tactical free will because it was a like, do I save him? Do I not save him? Does it matter? Type of deal. But he knows inevitably he's going to kill him. And it's just, that feels like obviously the crux of the issue here. It's like, is he blind to the fact that he has actual freedom, but he thinks like he's has freedom in a different way? I'm so interested to find out. I feel like obviously he said, and we were like, you know, he's not going to have the discussion, but I want the discussion because I want to hear him talk. You know, I don't want to hear him be like, it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, let's just fight. Obviously, that I liked it from a storytelling point at like, you know, the where it happened in the plane. But like, I want that conversation because I want Aaron to talk. Because
like, is he free in the sense where he is acting on his beliefs and letting his quote unquote intrusive thoughts win? You know what I mean?
Or is it like it's a fact of like it was always destined, like he started this plan and has to see it through type of deal? I'm just like very curious. Yeah, I don't know.
That is legitimately the question.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I can't wait.
Do you think Luffy would be very envious of Aaron's position right now? Because Aaron is talking about how free he is, just trampling all over
Luffy
these people.
Would fuck him.
Do you think Luffy would just join him?
I think Luffy would say obviously he's free to do this type of deal, but like Luffy would obviously stop him.
Yeah, you don't think Luffy would join him? Like
he'd be like, "No, Aaron's
legitimately
thinking,
exactly.
Look at me, I'm the most free person in the world, and me killing all these people is me freeing all these people."
Yeah, I mean, obviously, Luffy don't ride with that.
I guess respect.
Yeah, no, of course not.
I feel like it's like Blackbeard. Like Blackbeard obviously has an insane level of freedom on the sea, but like he's just a scumbag. So,
all right, let's do it. Let's get some final predictions in. You got anything brewing in the mind, Kyle, now that we've kind of covered everything? And
yeah,
we've already talked about Falco a little bit, if you want to dive into that a little bit. Any deaths?
Do I know how it's going to happen? No, but I feel like Falco, Annie, and Gabby have to show up. I don't think Azuma Bito woman will show up. She doesn't seem like she'll be like, yeah, let's tag on for the ride. Although she does say like how I don't think I could ever atone for this mistake. But I think some people
there would just be a waste of space.
Yeah, I think some people probably have to simmer in that for the rest of their life if they survive. Of like, she doesn't get a chance to atone for it. She just has to sit with it.
Mm-hmm.
Death-wise, I feel like Jean, John, however you want to pronounce it, I feel like he'll die. This sounds wrong, but take it in the right way. Like, I honestly kind of hope Reiner dies.
Mm-hmm. No, I
type
think
of
so.
Deal. I'm just so interested. I think no matter what happens with him, his ending, I feel like it's going to be interesting whether he lives or dies.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, because I want to watch his end of his journey in the show so badly. I feel like I don't want to say I don't care as much about like Mikasa's ending, which feels weird because she's such a great character. It's just like, I feel like I'm less interested almost,
because it's like her story is the love story almost. It's kind of a love story, but not really. It's like
I really hope Connie lives.
Yeah,
I feel like he's in that sweet spot of a character where it's like
he might be someone that kind of carries on like a little bit of like the memory and honestly, maybe even unfortunately, like the mental, emotional burden of what's everyone. Happened. But I feel like
he'll, I really like Connie too.
Yeah, I That's feel like pick, he'll. I feel like he'll live.
So we have John and Reiner as of right now.
Yeah, I think they'll die. Aaron, I don't know. You could totally argue. I feel like he's irredeemable. Like, there's no way, even if he stops doing this, like, the damage is done type of deal. Like, I don't, he can't just, like, live in, like, a secluded village in, like, a mountain somewhere type of deal. I just can't, I almost can't imagine him dying, though. It's just the tough part.
It's, have you ever seen, like, those YouTube videos where it's, like, anime villains with like the most kill counts, and like it'll start at like one and it'll like bring up someone, and then like you get to the very end and it's like it gets Eren Yeager like 2 million or some shit like that, like 200 million, something crazy. I think the only person who was higher than him was like someone who has the ability to just like crush like universes, and
say,
like,
it's gotta be someone in Dragon Ball Z. It's someone who's planets.
I know Frieza was like maybe up there, but it was like some ridiculous Gamora. Ability where they could just like the cycle was basically always of the world was always to end to this guy just crushing the universe. So he's just crushed this universe like over and over again. Okay. So it's just an infinite amount of bodies this guy's
so
produced.
He's just a stat padder.
But Eren was still, yeah, basically. But Eren was like still
padding like a jack.
Eren was top three or top five at least. But
that's crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just,
he's going for that triple double.
I mean, maybe, I feel like maybe Mikasa and Eren like dying together. I feel like it could be interesting. Armin living and kind of having to like be the person that like helps the world like pick up the pieces in the aftermath. I'm also really curious if we get not at like the level of like, you know, what was Aragorn's tax policy, but like what is the aftermath of the world? Like, I don't think we'll get into like a rebuild, like logistics type of thing, but I'm just kind of interested to get a glimpse. Although I'm always like begging for like those types of after credits of like, where are they now type of deal. That's just like a personal thing. I don't know
what I find sad. I find sad that like, even if they live, those with Titan powers only live for like 13 total years after they get them. Like that.
I feel like
blows.
It's like a blessing in disguise, though, because they're just destined to live a terribly destructive life, and it almost
as a character's like that. I love, you know, Armin.
Oh my god, yeah,
Reiner.
Yeah, he's
you know
on
like
ticking,
they're on a ticking time bomb of life and death, whether or not. They live to see
that
the
probably changes some of your answers too. That probably increases Reiner's. Like, you probably are now thinking like Reiner will definitely die. Maybe.
Yeah, he's got it.
That's what I'm saying.
Also,
like, maybe they
he has
just
like
go balls to the wall.
He has no self-preservation instinct at this point. Like, he's like, if there's an opportunity to kind of do what Hanji did, obviously, he pretty much, I feel like, volunteered as well. So if there's an opportunity that arises to quote unquote jump on the grenade, like he's probably candidate number one at this point.
All right, any final thoughts from either of you guys?
No, I'm fucking excited to know the ending of the story. It's been
so long. Years.
12 years in the making or something like that. Something insane like that. I don't know exactly, but it's got to be close to 12 years. So, and it's almost like, you know, it feels undeserved that someone like Luker, I mean, he actually has watched before, but like someone gets to just like start today or tomorrow and like get the whole story. Like, you weren't with us.
Yeah.
Seriously.
Type of deal. But
I have
that's
to be
not
honest.
The right mindset,
I'm excited for this. I've fucking known the ending for what, 2 years now? Like, I'm almost
that's true.
It's like it burns you out, you know? So I'm ready for it to manifest and for it to
I'm almost also very interested in that. I know it was quite controversial when it happened. Type of thing. So I don't think they'll edit the ending, you know, with like the hindsight of the public response to it. But I'm very curious to see how people that read think about the ending, seeing it in this different medium. Curious. Obviously, it feels like the content will be the same, but
you're right. There was absolutely controversy when the manga ended. There was definitely like a 50-50 split where people were like, oh, that was shitty.
Yeah.
Where all those other people were that was like, phenomenal.
I feel like the worst case scenario is we get like a dream or like Eren obviously has this ability to like travel through time. So like him like being able to like view a potential future of his type of thing, and like they wake up on the beach, like when they see the water type of thing, and it's like, whoa, like I don't do that.
All I'll say is I think that at the end of this, like whenever this comes out and people have their thoughts, I think it's either going to be everyone is on board with it being a great ending or not a great ending. I think people have sat on it for 2 years now. They're going to rewatch what happens in the end, and people are either going to be full all on board with the ending or totally off board. I think that's how it's going to go. Yeah, it's like it's not going to be a 50-50 split like it was when the manga first aired. Now that there's time for people that have simmered in these thoughts, I think we'll have a hard decision. But we'll have our own we'll have our own thoughts as well. Stick around for that. We will
we gave out of 10 on the coverage before. So I'm willing to, I would say this, it's tough because it's almost cheating because it was like three episodes or two and a half in one. So like, it's hard because like if the start was like one episode, then like maybe that's like an 8. But like I would say overall, all of this, that was like a 9.
I was going to say 8.5, 9 for me personally. Yeah. I think that was
that's like a 9.
I was
going to
put it in the 8.
I almost want to say 9.5. I would say 9.
Nah.
It was.
I feel like save next it. One.
Yeah,
feels
save
like,
it potentially.
I would put it like an 8.6.
Yeah, I'm hovering that 8.59 territory. But like I said,
why is that funny?
Like I said, we'll be covering.
It's just funny that we're like 9, 9.5, 8.5, 8.6.
We're cutting hairs here. We're literally cutting
dude,
hairs.
8.6 is fucking A1, dude.
I know. Just you getting that 0.1 over the 8.5 is funny.
All right, that's going to be it for today's episode coverage of Attack on Titan, episode special 1, final season, the final chapters. Still ridiculous. If you like what you heard, give Bingetown TV a follow on our socials, at Bingetown TV on all social media platforms. You know the works. Be sure to join our growing Discord. We absolutely love chatting with you all. It's an absolute blast. And then lastly, for all of our podcast catalog, go ahead and check out BingetownTV.com. Once again, we are Bingetown TV, and thanks for listening.
You're listening to the Geekscape Network.